Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the JA3K podcast. Episode like 700 something. I don't know. We've done a lot. It's the 8th, right? 9th.
I know you've all been waiting for this other episode. It's been a while since JA3K has dropped another podcast episode.
Yeah, I'm sure all my fans are dying of terminal boredom. Hopefully this will help them, help ease them into the abyss.
For your commute on your way from the couch to the office.
Wow, when we recorded our first episode, commute still existed. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I haven't left the house in 4 years, I think. Not since 1973. Yeah, so today we're going to talk about Westworld Season 1. We just finished it in a 10-hour binge right here in the studio. That's not true, actually. It took us like a year to watch it. We're very bad at watching TV. Yeah.
Because I was scared at night.
Yeah, I was too scary to watch two episodes at a time.
Yeah. Only on the weekends, too.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't want to, like, not be able to sleep during a school night.
Yeah.
Be bad. Yeah, so massive spoilers. So just get that out there. And also at a high level, I guess, we both recommend it. I think it was a really good show. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. This first season was really good, but we're not sure if we want to watch the second season, because I guess it might be worse.
Yeah, yeah. The first season sort of feels like it tells a complete story to me. Like, I'm sure the second season is interesting, so I feel like we should watch it at some point, but maybe not right away. I think, yeah, the second season was almost as highly rated, and then the third season was rated significantly worse.
Yeah, I would watch the second season then. And we got... we were able to watch the show... Shout out to Bill.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Our sponsor, Bill.
Yeah, our sponsor, Bill, for letting us use HBO Max subscription. So, yeah, that's been really nice. And we watched exactly one episode of some weird animated show, too.
Oh, Rick and Morty?
Oh, Rick and Morty, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we watched the first episode of the season 4 of Rick and Morty. I'm going to watch the rest of it. I thought it was pretty good, but I just remember I didn't like it that much.
It was confusing.
Yeah. We also watched the first episode of Succession.
Oh, yeah. That was stressful.
Yeah, it was stressful.
Yeah. But if you're not stressed while watching a show, what are you even doing?
Yeah, who watches TV to relax and enjoy themselves?
Yeah. But anyways, we're here to talk about Westworld. Oh, yeah, and we also watched Westworld during the weeks of Halloween, so it was extra scary.
Yeah, it was extra spooky. Yeah, way to date this show. Now I've got to edit it up fast and get it out there.
Oh, sorry.
Be like, oh, Halloween was years ago.
Yeah.
So Westworld. I feel like Westworld is one of the most psychoactive TV shows I've ever watched. I feel like after watching it, I'd be like walking down the street and I'd be like feeling my lungs in my body and my feet on the ground and think about like weird childhood memories I hadn't thought about in forever. Think about like my purpose and like how it got in me, like whether I was programmed.
Wait, are you a robot?
I don't know. You tell me, Ree. Wait, so when you watch the show...
That's
you...
enough.
Cease motor functions.
You won't stop. Something's wrong. Okay, sorry.
Oh, what did you think of Matt Damon's role in the show?
Oh, yes. There's a Matt Damon lookalike.
Oh, yeah. Who co-stars with an Ellen Page lookalike.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so in the beginning when we first started watching this show, I think I was, like, kind of scared because there was a lot of, like, violence. Just, like, raw violence. And the only person really in the show, who, like, the actual human being who was, like, supposed to control and, like, make sure that the robots didn't get out of hand or, like, he was, like, some manager-type role. He was, like, the only one who actually carried a gun or a knife and looked like he could use it against the robots. And, like, no one else was, like, concerned or cared that, like, all these robots could, like, actually do damage, even though they're, like, built like humans, they think like humans, they're carrying, like, guns. yeah. knives. Like he, but he was the only one who actually like cared about his safety or whatever, and it for good reason because he like almost died.
But he did die, right? Wasn't he like killed by those Native American robots and like the
Oh yeah, the last scene? He was. Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, because like in the last episode, he's like, "I'm gonna go somewhere and check something out," and then he just gets murdered. But you just never see him again. It's like you don't see him like actually get stabbed on camera. Just like they tackle him, and then you just never see him again. It's kind of weird. I kind of think maybe he's not dead. He'll be in season two. I don't know.
There's a weird so in the show, there's a lot of different like stories that they tell, and towards the end of season one, they have like this group of paint like people, like I don't know, Native Americans who have white paint all over their bodies, and that's like never fully explained in the season. Somehow they're like very powerful, they like can't die, and they're the ones who killed this Matt Damon lookalike, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't really understand why they were created, like, what storyline they play. Because they were also featured in Maeve's storyline, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they just recycled the robots, probably.
Okay, they just recycled the robots. But, like, why are those... Like, why are some groups of their robots, like, unable to die by the hands of... or be controlled, really?
Mm-hmm.
They, like, can't die. Because... the like actual people, like the guests, versus the hosts, which are the robots, like the guests can usually like kill the robots, like that's why they come there to like be on vacation and kill people and have sex and everything, but some of the robots just like can't get killed, and that like accelerates towards the end of the season, but I don't really know why. I guess they just go rogue or something.
Yeah, well, I thought the sorry, what's the old guy's name again? Arnold's co-founder? William? No, no, not William.
Oh, Robert? Or Ford.
Ford, yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought Ford just, like, overrode theirs. So they were, like, off into, like, some, like, secret region of the park where only Ford was experimenting. I think he just, like, turned off their safety features for reasons.
Okay.
But, yeah, they, like, they don't serve much of a purpose besides being ominous. Because, like, I guess in the final scene... Major spoilers, of course, when Dolores shoots Ford on stage, and it's kind of ambiguous whether it was like Dolores's free will and her becoming conscious, or because Ford just programmed her to do it. And there's like also scenes of like all the Native American robots coming out of the woods, and I feel like Ford just programmed it all. It was just like his I don't know, going away gift to the board.
Yeah, in my mind, Maeve is, like, the more surprising figure than Dolores. Like halfway through the season, we find out that, oh, shoot, who's, like, Ford's secondhand man?
Arnold.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, right. Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard.
Who's also Arnold.
Yeah, Bernard is, like, a robot to recreate Arnold, Ford's partner, but... Bernard like has these secret conversations with Dolores for some reason, which I don't really understand, because Bernard is also a robot, so like is he like just going in Ford's place, and why not Ford talk to Dolores if that's the case? But yeah, sorry, my point is that like,
oh, I think I need to rewatch those scenes. Are we sure that that was Bernard and not Arnold? It's a weird thing about the show, but I feel like you have to really like pay attention to everyone's clothing to know like who they are from scene to scene, and like what year it is, yeah, and stuff, and whether it's a flashback or present day.
No, but did Arnold have a son who died too, or was that just...
Yeah, Arnold had a son that died. I imagine Arnold's son looked exactly like Bernard's fictional son, but I don't really know.
Okay.
But yeah, Bernard had the same backstory as Arnold, essentially, that he had, like, a son who died, yeah, and then he worked with robots in the park.
Yeah, it's very difficult to distinguish the two, especially when they have the flashbacks, and they have, like, Dolores change her dress, but Bernard just, like, has the same clothes, like, the suit. That's what Arnold was wearing, right? And glasses? Glasses.
I think those discussions with Dolores... Well, where were they happening? They were happening in, like, that church, right? It's the same, like, room that they have the later scenes in. But then, like, Bernard slash Arnold says to Dolores, "You haven't told anyone about these conversations, right?" Which...
No, and then he asks, like, when was the last time someone has, like, programmed you and it was Arnold? Or so when was the last time someone had done something and it was, like, a long time ago?
Uh-huh. Did you say a long time ago or did you say Arnold did it? Maybe those scenes were, like, from the beginning of the park.
No, because I thought she said it was, like, 30 years ago or something.
Oh, okay.
I thought she said a number of, like, years
since
the last time.
Uh-huh. Oh, was that, like, a scene when he was, like, who did that? And she was, like, you did. And, yeah, I think Dolores can't tell Arnold and Bernard apart.
Yeah. Which makes sense. I can't either.
Yeah. But Mav can tell him apart from the humans.
Yeah, so that's why I was saying, like, I kind of think, like, Maeve is, like, more interesting because, like, she isn't really afraid and she, like, understands what's going on when she, like, wakes up and she, like, tries to hide the fact that she's, like, learning what this park is and that she's a robot and she's, like, comfortable with that idea and she's, like, so comfortable with it that she programs herself to, like, be smarter and manages to escape and gets all these, like, people to help her. But Dolores, like, needs all these people to, like, constantly tell her what to do. Go to the church to shoot Bernard or Arnold or whatever.
Yeah, people are always telling to her, like, oh, you're a robot, you can't understand this. And she, like, just looks at the phone and is like, I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom definitely feels, like, much more like an agent, like, much more in control. But then... when she meets Bernard in that dungeon, and she identifies Bernard as a robot, and Bernard is, like, looking at her programming, he's like, oh, you're not doing this of your own free will. This is scripted. I can tell what you're going to do next. You're going to, like, exit on the train and then decide to come back for your fake daughter. So I think she, even though she appears to us, the audience, as more of an agent, I think she's also just playing out Ford's script.
Yeah, Ford's final message for, like, I don't know if he, like, started doing this when he was like, oh, I'm gonna have to be retiring soon, or if they're gonna fire me for sure. He, like, constructs this elaborate plan to have, like, the robots overtake everyone, Maeve to escape and cause havoc in the, like, headquarters of Westworld, but at the same time, like, go back, and join the park in order to, like, help get the rest of the robots out, maybe. Maybe that's, like, his plan for her. Her plan is to, like, go get her daughter, but maybe, like, she helps, like, bring the other robots into consciousness or whatever. I don't know. But, yeah, he, like, wants to just, like, totally blow up this whole thing and gets shot at the end and... I don't know. Presumably, the whole board of Westworld gets shot.
Yeah, it's all a metaphor.
One gun of Dolores.
Yeah, Dolores just kills everyone at a time. I think it's all a metaphor for Facebook. Ford is Mark Zuckerberg. What's the executive woman? She's Sheryl Sandberg. William is Peter Thiel.
Wait, who's the board? Oh, yeah.
The board is the board, but it's controlled by Peter Thiel, who's William. No, but it is sort of like an allegory of some, like, founder trying to hold control of his organization. And I guess, actually, Mark Zuckerberg did a pretty good job of keeping control of his organization, even as it, like, went public, whereas Ford maybe didn't.
Well, how is he, like...
Oh, yeah, Ford had Ford's partner died, just like Zuckerberg's partner. Just kidding. None of Zuckerberg's early associates died.
Wait, but Ford's partner... Did Ford's partner, Arnold, program Dolores to kill her? Or did, like, Ford somehow convince her to kill Arnold?
Oh, Arnold definitely made Dolores kill him, I think. Oh, yeah, and one more thing about this connection. Meta is just Zuckerberg destroying his organization, just like a... Just like Ford did.
Yeah, but... Yeah, maybe.
I mean, so going about Arnold's getting killed by Dolores.
Oh yeah, so why did he want to die again?
I think he was just depressed about his son being dead. And I think also he stopped seeing his work as, like, good. Because I think, like, they were programming these robots to live in this hell, and I guess they thought that was morally fine because the robots were just, like, dumb computers, but then he decided that they were becoming conscious, like, and it was morally a mistake to make the park.
Why couldn't he just, like, do some secret project on the side? Like, Ford.
Oh, like, what?
Like, if he wanted to have... If he wanted to do something like Ford, like, if Ford was also thinking, like, oh, these robots are, like, people or whatever, they have consciousness, like, let me, like, construct this plan for them to get out and kill everyone, and then they can, like, leave once Westworld is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he, like, just try to do that with Ford?
Oh, well, I don't think Bernard wanted the robots to escape, so I think...
Well, not Bernard, but Arnold.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I don't think Arnold wanted the robots to escape. I thought, like, so I guess Ford is imagining the robots, like, rising up and taking over the world. Maybe, I don't know, we'll have to watch season two and see what the robots do next. But, I thought Arnold just wanted to destroy the robots because he was like, oh, like, it's explained... Like, Ford explains to us that Arnold gave them all traumatic backstories because it made them more grounded and more human than, like, positive backstories.
It allowed for consciousness.
Yeah. It seems like suffering is somehow very important to the design of the robots, just like the design of human minds, maybe. And I guess he thought there was, like, no moral good to salvage from their project, and it was better to destroy it. Because I think Arnold's intent was, like, after he died, that the park and the robots would be so destroyed that they would just have to stop. But I don't know exactly what Arnold was planning. I guess his plan didn't work out that well. Or maybe it did work out pretty well, because he died at least.
Yeah, and the whole season... Well, season one is called The Maze. And Arnold, like, made this maze type thing. Then, and when we first heard about it, I was like, oh, there's gonna be like a creepy maze, like Pan's Labyrinth, and it's gonna be like all this unnecessary violence. And I'm gonna have nightmares. But yeah, in the end, it's like, you know, the maze to consciousness, and Dolores just, like, cannot figure it out. It's like such a struggle.
What are you talking about? Yeah. The maze.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite moments of the show is when the man in black is right after he murders Mav, because he was like, oh, I just wanted to see what these robots look like when they suffer or whatever. And then she, like, runs out, and he was like, it was at that moment that the maze revealed itself to me. And she just, like, falls onto the ground on, like, a pattern of the maze in the dirt. What is it doing there? Yeah.
Yeah, that part didn't add up, right? Because, like, William, we find out his, like, backstory, and, like, why he turned evil or whatever.
Yeah, so he turned evil right after Dolores ran away and was killed by the soldiers. But then, like, much later, he's like, I just wanted to be evil, and that's when he, like, killed Mav. But he was old in that scene, so it's like, there's sort of, like, a disconnect there, like,
He just became more evil.
Yeah, he just kept becoming more and more evil. He would massacre, like, a whole army of the fake Union soldiers, but he wouldn't kill, like, a robot girl in front of the robot mom. That would be too much.
Yeah, and I don't get how William, who, like, owns the park or whatever, had time to do all this killing in the park and also be a titan of industry, self-described.
Yeah, he was on vacation.
Yeah, he was on vacation, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's, like, weird.
Yeah. Well, I think it sort of adds up. I think the implication is he spent, like, a week there with his brother-in-law, or future brother-in-law, and then he, like, went there occasionally, but not very much, and then he just, like, I don't know, semi-retired after his wife died and spent, like, a year there or something.
Yeah.
I mean, just because we only see him in the park doesn't mean he's always in the park. I assume
how do they get out of the park? Yeah. We take the train?
Yeah, I guess they take the train.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, when you were talking about, like, suffering, like, that was, like, a huge part of, like, how they were, like, designing the robots that had consciousness. I guess, like, what, 10% of the robots, like, were able to, like, have consciousness or whatever? Or, like, do things that deviated from their code, I guess is how they described it. But, like, all of the ones that were able to do that had some sort of sad backstory. And I guess, like, for Maeve, it wasn't really, like, a backstory, but it was just, like, a distant memory of her past projects that she was, like, or past storylines that she was part of that, like, contributed to her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Her Pergrim Inn backstory was something about how she, like, lived by the sea and then came to this town. And
it wasn't a backstory, though. It was, like, you know, the robots were programmed to do different things, have different storylines. And her storyline in the past was, like, to live in a prairie house with her daughter and then be murdered by Native Americans. But actually by William.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that one actually happened. Yeah, yeah.
So that's not a that's not really, like, her backstory. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's her real backstory.
It's her real backstory, yeah. But she wasn't supposed to remember it. So, yeah. Like, how did she remember it without having a true backstory?
Yeah, the reveries. The programming bug that Ford slipped in.
Oh, yeah, what was that?
Yeah, the reveries. It was, like, how they were able to, like, access their previous memories.
He put that into all of them?
Yeah. Yeah, like, at the beginning of the season, and then they rolled them back. But I guess, like, the rollback didn't take for some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, one of the major, like, surprising things that happened was that Bernard was a robot, but, like, we were talking about how there was, like, gonna be some sort of, like, surprising event, and one of the humans was gonna turn out to be a robot.
Yeah, I thought one of the robots might turn out to be a human, but I guess that wouldn't make any sense. How could, like, how could they slip in a human and get them to act like a robot? But yeah, I wasn't really expecting Bernard to be a robot. Yeah, it really got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was a robot until, like, what was the Sheryl Sandberg character's name? Bernard's, lover.
Yeah, she was somehow, like, a liaison between corporate and the people who ran Westworld.
Yeah, I think her title was probably CEO or maybe CFO, I don't know. She was head of QA, I guess, was her title?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's, like, a scene where she's like, oh, do you see this door? And he's like, I don't see the door. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the moment. Mm-hmm. It was a creepy, weird house. I don't know. Like, there's, like, a lot of creepy scenes, like, places in the show. Like, where the Ellen Page looked like gets murdered. Like, it was, like, a weird circus or clown thing.
Yeah.
Where she gets murdered, and then...
Yeah, people did a lot of investigating on their own.
Yeah, in, like, weird, dark dungeon-type places with no protection.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say something. Oh, yeah, so, yeah, that lady, the CEO or whatever, there's, like, a scene in one of the episodes where she's having, like, lunch or something with Ford to talk about, like, the new storylines or something, or preparing for corporate's visit, and he's like, this is where you sat when you were a child or something, visiting Westworld, and there's, like, been several of you.
No, she brought it up. She was like, oh, I remember this place. Yeah,
she brought it up, but there's been, like, we picked, like, several of you or whatever. Like, I thought that she might have been, like, a robot or, like, like, why did she come there and then, like, Ford remembered exactly where she was sitting when she was a child? And why did he even know her as a child?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting thing for him to be able to look up easily. Like, the kids probably were kids. Oh, also, the woman on the board, in, like, the last scene where she's interacting with Ford, I had the sense that maybe she was a robot, because, like, Ford is, like, I'll see you later. And she, like, suddenly, like, very mechanically is like, yes, later, and, like, walks out kind of jerkily. But maybe we'll learn that she is in season two. Or maybe that's just how she acted the scene. I don't know.
Yeah.
What if in the final season we realize the audience is robots?
We?
Surprise.
We.
Cecil motor functions.
No. Yeah. Something that I liked about the show was that, or like, I don't know, at first I was like liking it, and it's like how these like strong human emotion backstories like gave the robots like the ability to like think for themselves or like choose things. I don't know, like I think they don't really define consciousness very concretely. I guess it's a hard thing to define, but like when they like deviate from their code, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, they never deviate from their code, right? Like, there's, like, some physical process that can't just break the laws of physics. But I feel like there's two levels to their programming. There's, like, the very scripted, like, they should do this, then that, and say hi to the guests. And then there's, like, the more improvisational mode of their programming, which I guess became the dominant mode of how they behaved later.
Yeah, but how much of that meant that they were, like, conscious or whatever?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because even when the, like, you know, dumb robots were just sitting there, like, you could tell them to, like, improvise things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was, like, part of what they were supposed to do for the guests who come. Like, mm-hmm. to make it a real experience, they're supposed to be able to improvise. But I guess, like, when the robots think that there's, like, other things to do, or, like, when they have, like, bigger goals for themselves,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem. But no, because, like, some of the robots also, like, the evil or the violent ones, like, they remembered their past experiences in the park, and it made them have, like, grudges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the reveries were released.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, they don't talk that much about, like, the philosophical underpinnings of how they see consciousness, but I feel like they sort of are saying that the bicameral mind is important, or, like, somehow, like, there's two sides to Dolores talking to each other. There's, like, the side that's sort of represented by Arnold, but it's really just her. And then there's the side that's, like, her as, like, a victim in the park. And then, like, the dialogue between the two becomes, like, the whole of her, and, like, together it's conscious.
Yeah, that was, like, the last scene, right? Like, for her to realize what she needs to do and, like, who she is, she has to realize that, like, her inner voice is herself and not, like, Arnold programming her.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it is her programming.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like there's some kind of philosophical distinction between, like, a hard programmed thing that's just, like, doing exactly what the designer intended, and some kind of, like, more improvisational programmed thing, even though they're both, I guess, just electrons moving around according to the laws of physics.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, unclear as to what they were originally, like, programmed to do, like, what their goals or motivations were in the beginning, and then, like, how they're different now. Because, like, Dolores kept talking about how she, like, envisioned a, like, a better life for herself and, like, a larger world. But, like, I don't know if that was something that Arnold wanted her to think, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that was a script. I think that was, like, written for her.
Okay.
Oh, like, some people choose to see the ugliness in the world.
No, I know, but not just that, but, like, she wanted to, like, go further, you know? She went to the edges of the park, but she knew that there was something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. With William, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Dolores has this, like, programmed love interest with another robot, Teddy. Yeah. But she has like a realer love, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, with William.
With William, like an actual person. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess like it's kind of hard to say like how the robots are like, of the 10% that are like better or like smarter or different than the other 90% of the robots.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in the second season, maybe they all become like conscious or something. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, I wanted to jump back to something you said earlier about, like, the Matt Damon lookalike. He's the only one who carries around a gun, and, like, no one else seems very concerned. And then there's, like, a very surprising, almost final scene where, like, all these people come out with guns to stop the three robots from escaping.
Like, like, big guns.
Too. Yeah, yeah. I was not prepared for them to be so prepared. It seems like the wrong level of abstraction to be prepared at. It seems like they have a very bad safety culture in the park where it should be... Like, there should be, like, more reliable ways to make them cease all motor functions than talking to them or... Yeah, but anyway, what I wanted to say is, like, Matt Damon's the only one who's concerned about these robots that might, like, kill you at any moment. But I feel like we live in a modern world that's, like, very similar to that somehow. Like, everyone's very comfortable carrying around these devices that are tracking your location minute by minute, transmitting them to servers... through apps that you, like, can't inspect the source code of, that, like, have microphones and cameras that could, in theory, be running at any moment. And, I don't know, we all just, like, trust them, like, oh, it's my phone, you know, it's gonna act in my interest, more or less. Or,
well, isn't that just a privacy issue?
Well, I don't... Well, I feel like privacy issues are often framed as, like, what... should companies do, like, should Google collect this data, should Facebook collect this data, should they be correlating your browsing behavior with this other stuff? But I feel like there's another issue, which is like a security issue, which is that, like, your phone could, like, I don't know, have an app or some exploit that allows people to just, like, be continuously recording your location and audio and tracking it in, like, a much more malicious way than, like, I don't know, Google or Facebook do.
Yeah, yeah, that could be a concern. But, like, who are these people? Like, they have to be organized, right? And have, like, weapons or something? If you should be concerned.
Oh, what? I don't know.
Or, like, just, like, it, like, there's the technology to track you. But, like, it's different than this scenario, because, like, the robots are obviously very skilled with weapons and, like,
can organize. Oh, yeah, yeah. My phone can't hurt me on its own. Yeah, that's true. I guess it could let people know where I am and then, like, they could come and hurt me in theory. But... I don't know. I mean, like, when I say it, it sounds very paranoid, right? Like, but it's, like, it's just a thing we accept that, like, our phones are watching us all the time.
My high school always taped over the camera.
Oh, yeah. Even Mark Zuckerberg does that.
Really?
Yeah, well, there's a very famous photo of him in, like, his office, and you can, like, clearly see his laptop has, like, tape over the webcam.
Is that a real concern that we should...
I don't know how real it is.
Like, just me, like, typing?
I don't know. I feel like it's a more real concern if you're, like, Mark Zuckerberg, because, like... Like, so what if the CIA or some guy in Russia can listen to everything I ever say because my phone's mic is actually active and transmitting data? Like, I don't know. It's, like, sort of awkward, but, you know, I'm just some guy, you know, state intelligence departments don't really care about me. But if you're Mark Zuckerberg, and, like, there's a lot of reasons for a lot of people to want to, like, know what you're thinking and what you're going to do next. So.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, hard to, like, audit security systems, too. There's, like, a famous example, like, about, like, C compilers, where, like, you write So C compilers are written in C. So you can, like... And it's, like, bootstrapped. All compilers are written in, like, their own language. Well, you start off by writing a compiler in a different language, and then compiling it with a compiler for that language. And then, now that you've got a compiler for your new language, you write a compiler in your new language, and then you compile it with your old compiler, and now you've got a compiler for your language in the, your, like, target language. So it's sort of a technical aside. But something you can do is you can write, like, in your compiler, you can write, like, something where, like, oh, if you detect that this program that someone wrote is, like, for a specific purpose, like, it's supposed to be, like the login screen of, like, Unix or something, then insert this, like, secret backdoor. But then people could read your compiler and see that this, like, backdoor is written. But then you can write a compiler, or... Then you add another detail to your compiler that detects this feature of your compiler, and if it detects it's compiling a compiler, it doesn't compile this bit. And then you bootstrap it, and then, like, I don't know. I forget what it's called. There's, like, a famous article called, like, The Trust of Trust or something. Or...
But how does, like, the compiler do its job faster than it detecting?
Well, it doesn't have to be, like, faster. It's just, like, it takes, like, C code and compiles it almost correctly, but it adds, like, exploits if it detects it's compiling either a compiler or a login screen.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I guess I was just, like, confused because, like, if your compiler is, like, or if, this is how I understand it. Like, so you're, like, you're detecting something. The compiler is, like, detecting if someone is reading it, right?
No. I mean, the compiler is just, like, a function that takes in C code or whatever language code and outputs machine code.
Okay. But, like, if you're trying to, like, detect something to prevent someone from seeing it,
mm-hmm.
is that what it's doing?
I don't know.
No.
No, not really. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not doing a good job explaining it. I guess, like, my point is just there's limits to how well you can audit that code is doing what you expect just by reading the code. Because obviously in between, like, the code, the human readable code that you write and, like, the deployed code on machines, there's, like, many layers of compilers and, like,
okay.
things moving over the network and I don't know, there's many layers where, like, a sufficiently sophisticated agent could, like, change the behavior in ways you want to be able to detect.
Okay.
I don't know. Not that I think everyone's phones are recording everything you ever say and sending them to the Kremlin, but I don't know.
Okay, well...
But it makes sense that Matt Damon would carry around a gun, and in fact, everyone around him was the crazy one.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah. Although he did die, sadly.
Yeah, because he had to go investigate the problem on his own. If only his good friend Ellen Page was there to help him out.
I don't think even she would be able to do anything.
Yeah, they would have just both died.
She was dead.
Yeah, she was already dead. Because she investigated a problem on her own. Sad.
Yeah. So I was wondering what you thought of, like sadness backstory being the key of consciousness. Does it have to be suffering? Human suffering?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the show is getting at something sort of deep and true there, which is like, you know, we all always imagine ourselves like being happy and pushing towards happiness, but like most of life is actually not very happy and like pretty painful, and like when you ever get to a state where you think like, oh, now I can relax, like you immediately start thinking like, oh, what's the next thing I should do, you know, like, I guess this like this kind of insight is why people start meditating or something, to like stop like going from one task to the next expecting it to bring them happiness, but it doesn't really.
Yeah, I think I mentioned before that like I feel like people can understand each other through sadness more than happiness. Or, like, I don't know, I feel like people come together through tragedy more often than the happiness.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true.
But also, it's not really, like, I don't know, like, when humans become conscious, I don't know if it's because they've experienced so much tragedy, you know? Like, when does the human child, like, or a baby become, like, really aware of, like, who it is in the world and have, like, autonomy or something?
Yeah, I feel like consciousness, like, simply being aware and, like, the valence of your experience, whether you think it's, like, positive or negative or sort of in between, I feel like those are, like, independent things. Or, like, you need to be conscious to, like, for your experience to have, like, emotional valence in that way. But, like, the intensity of that and, like, the direction is not the same thing as being aware. And you can be, like, aware without, like, necessarily being happy or sad. I think, anyway, I don't know. I feel like every time I talk about consciousness, there's a big asterisk, which is, I don't understand the hard problem of consciousness.
Yeah, we used to talk about this topic, but I felt like we were going in circles or something.
Did we talk about it on a podcast?
We might have, yeah. There was a point in my life when I was trying to listen to a lot of stuff about consciousness, but it's like, I don't know. Like, you can learn a lot about it and still not understand, like, I don't know. Because, you know, it's very, like, ungraspable idea, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't really have the tools to measure it or describe it accurately.
Yeah. As soon as people start talking about, like, the hard problem of consciousness, I often kind of feel like they're saying a bunch of words that I doubt mean the same thing to me as they mean to them as they're saying them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, everything they say sounds, like, reasonable, but then at the end of it, I'm left with the experience of, like, not having really learned anything or something.
Yeah, I was just reading an article about, like, 1-month-old baby, what they can do and stuff, and I guess there's, like, 3 different, or maybe 2 different, like, main reflexes, but, like, how much is, like, a baby developing is, like, a reflex, sort of, or is it, like, their own, you know, drive or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I don't know, the, like, you know, evolutionary program to do, or, you know, I don't know. Apparently babies can have dreams in the womb, but
yeah, at 6 months,
yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. What are they dreaming about? Just amniotic fluid?
I don't know.
I had some terrifying dreams last night. I feel like I had, like, had dreams with, like, body sensations, which is very rare for me. Usually my dreams are, like, mostly visual and some auditory, but I could, like, feel, like, the teeth in my mouth or something. Maybe I was grinding my teeth, actually.
Yeah, you've done that before.
Oh, shit.
I wouldn't know, because I'm just a guest on this podcast. Yeah, I had a very, like, physical dream after watching one of the episodes of Westworld where, like, I thought a robot was, like, touching my butt. I was like, no. And I actually said those words out loud.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing you say that.
That's what was going on. But it was very disturbing because, I don't know, I was just scary.
Yeah. I've had some disturbing dreams, too, after watching Westworld.
It's just, like, I don't know. It's not so much about the robots being so similar to humans as it is, like, them promising violence and murder and the creepy, like, dungeons of Westworld.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Was it, like, the first episode where Dolores' father is, like, quoting Shakespeare at Ford, and it's, like, terrifying, like... Like, Four is like, what'll you do when you meet your maker? And he's like, I'll exact such a revenge on him that...
Oh, yeah, I thought that was scary.
Yeah, that was super scary.
Yeah. And that's how the episode ended, right?
Yeah, I think that was the end of the first episode. Or Maybe the second episode.
They got less scary over time, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of got used to it.
Cerebral, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I really liked the Radiohead songs in it, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Did you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. I could talk about Radiohead all day. I'm really glad that they ended the whole show with exit music for a film. It's just, apparently, I looked it up because I was curious. So it came out in 1997, and the film it was made for was Romeo and Juliet, apparently. Which surprised me. Did you watch that Romeo and Juliet? You did, right?
Which one?
Like the one that's set in Miami or something. It's like modern day Romeo and Juliet.
Do you know who stars in that?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, maybe. I might have seen part of it.
Yeah, I watched it in high school English class. Because I'm like 35.
I think I might have seen that part of it in English too. I think that one was particularly sexualized, though.
Oh, yeah. It was sort of a weird thing to watch in English class, yeah.
Yeah. Because they were, like, high schoolers, and they were, like, in bed together, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They need to make a modern adaptation of Romeo and Juliet where they're both, like, 35-year-old millennials. You think it could work? Oh yeah, and the other Radiohead songs in like the middle, it's motion picture soundtrack. So good.
But those songs came out like a long time ago, right?
Yeah, motion picture soundtrack came out a little later. It was on Kid A, so I think 2003, but I'm not sure.
Those songs were made for this show.
Yeah.
They didn't know it then, but...
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of things to talk about for Westworld, especially like for consciousness, but I don't know, also like it is a little bit simplified in that, like, you know, there's like a difference. They try to like show, you know, at first the difference between the hosts and the guests, or like the humans and the robots, but really like the difference is not that big. And like, you know, even the audience gets confused when we find out that Bernard is a robot. And like all of our experiences, which we think make us human, like, could also be like programmed in a robot.
Oh, that's interesting. That wasn't really my takeaway, that there wasn't much of a difference. Like, my takeaway is more that like people are easy to trick, and like you can like make someone think something is conscious by just like making it look enough like a human and talk enough like a human. But like really, Dolores and Mom, they're like incredibly alien, even though they're
really,
they look like humans.
But at the last scene, Maeve is like on the train watching this woman and her daughter. I don't know why her daughter, there's like a daughter there that's like no place for kids.
But yeah, no place for kids at all. Also, why was the train still running? She just got out of an elevator from a firefight. They should have stopped.
Yeah,
the
Westworld was literally like being shut down and overrun and like the worst case scenario, and the trains were totally fine. The elevators were working.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so
first thing to do when the robots are escaping is turn off the elevators.
Well, Maeve sees like this touching scene of a mother and daughter, and then is like, I need to go back and go to my daughter. I mean, of course it was programmed, but doesn't it just like make you think she's like human-like?
Yeah,
she was like this robot on like hellbent to get out of there and start a new life in the real world. But really she'll just like risk going back into this hell to like be with her daughter, because that's what's most important in life or whatever.
Yeah, gotta get your fake robot daughter.
Yeah, even if it is a fake backstory, even if it isn't her real daughter, which she acknowledges, she still wants like the memories. And also that is something Bernard brought up,
like the memories are, he didn't want them to be taken away.
Because they were what made him, him.
Yeah.
All he had of his son. He wasn't even real.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, it is maybe also talking about AI as well. To, like, trick someone into thinking of consciousness or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like we'll have computers that make us think they're conscious before we have, like, actual simulated consciousness, but I don't really know what consciousness is, so it's hard to say.
Yeah.
People will make crazy claims. Like, some people even think, like, matrix multipliers are conscious with, like, some, like, there's, like, some notion of phi that some philosopher defined, which is, like, some formula about, like, the number of connections and it's like any system that's sufficiently complicated just is conscious, but I find that philosophical position questionable. But there's at least one advocate.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, I guess this is a good place to wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah, we might do a part two for season two, but
we're gonna watch it. Yeah, what should we watch next? Hey, Leah, let us know in the comments what you want us to watch next.
I thought you took those comments down because they had weird ads.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll probably post this to Twitter and reply to the tweet about the podcast with, what we should watch next, and also what comment service I should use. It should be free and have no ads and be perfect in every way. There should be no trade-offs in your recommendation. I will not have a trade-off in my mentions. Okay. Thank you all for listening.